feel your empty arms.
You're in the arms.
You won't know how it hurts until the time comes. There's no one around you to feel your empty arms.
Jimmy McCracken with Irma Thomas. Song called Tomorrow. Boy, that's some great soul music, huh? What'd you think of that one? It's good stuff. You're listening to WFAQ-LP Muquanago, Kettle Moraine Community Radio at 101.3 FM and WFAQ.com. Good afternoon to you. It's 4 o'clock. I'm Commander Todd, and as promised, we have in the studio with us Roger Walsh from the village of Muquanago. He's a board member and trustee. How you doing, Roger?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And I really appreciated the tour of the studio and learning about WFAQ, and I'm enjoying the music very much.
You like it?
Very much.
Good. Well, thank you. Yeah, we love being here and bringing it to you, you know, commercial-free and uninterrupted, which is what we're all about. We're also Kettle Moraine Community Radio, Muquanago's community radio station. So this is part of our mission, is to bring community issues and community events to the teeming millions out there that happen to be tuning in. So,
no, this is great for the community. When I ran for trustee, and I'm a new trustee, I just was elected in April, and I went door to door and tried to figure out how do people get their information. And there's different ways for different people. Some people are more social media oriented, you know. Some people, you mm-hmm. know, read a bulletin board at the bowling alley, and some yeah. people come to the radio station, and just all these sources of information, because I think, you know, people want to know about what's going on in their community. They miss their local newspaper, and to have something like this and other outlets, whether it's the library, all these things are what we tried to use to let people know, you know, what's going on in the village of Muquanago. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. We're proud of our mission and what we're doing, you know. So thank you. I'm glad you appreciate it. So a little bit about yourself, Roger. You just touched on the fact that you're a board member here, of the trustee, since April. But you've been involved with the village and community for quite some time.
Village, a longtime resident, graduate of Muquanago Union High School, which is a while ago. And the in terms of village government, the village has a 7-member board of trustees with a village president, and I'm one of those. And learning a lot and getting involved. But prior to that, I'd been on a lot of committees, from historic preservation to committee with the DOT on Highway 83 to economic development committees with the chamber. So never thought of myself as a committee person, but when, you know, people asked, would you be part of this committee, then I always felt like it was my job to show up and participate and express an opinion and, you know, try to work for what, you know, the best. You know, when you're on a committee, you have your opinion, but you also have to be, you know, respectful and, you know, listen and hear from other people as well on what, you know, their ideas, and, you know, try to come up with, you know, some directions forward. So,
mm-hmm. So it's a big conversation.
It's a big conversation. Yep. Been involved in a lot. Yeah. What I like about the Downtown Development Committee is that after experiencing a lot of committees and working on different things, that this is probably the first time I recall having an implementation committee where we spent time. We had a committee called the Downtown Strategic Plan Steering Committee that mm-hmm. came up with a 47-page downtown strategic plan, and the village then went to the next step and created this committee to implement what's in that plan. So great committee members. There's 9 members. 5 are voting, 4 are advisory from different backgrounds, and we are just trying to go through the steps of implementing the strategic plan, and one of those steps, it was what we called a Tier 1 recommendation, was to, for a streetscaping plan for the downtown, for several blocks of the downtown that could be developed. It's a design plan and carried forward in the future. So these are, have the plan, and when you want to do some street work or you want to do some things, have some short-term action items within that plan, medium-term, long-term plans would be things like sewer and water, you know, type of thing. But when those things get done, incorporate this into something that, you know, will kind of lead the village forward on what do people want this to look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. You know, I may not be around, but other people will, and it's putting, you know, a direction for what do you want downtown Mequonago to look like.
So. Yeah, and growth is certainly the capital G around here. You know, I mean, it's been just explosive the last several years, decades, you know. So how do we handle that smartly? And that's, I think, where this original strategic plan came from. It's like, how do we grow, and what does it look like? You know, what do you want it to look like, right?
I was a newcomer to Mequonago sometime around 1968. We moved from Waukesha.
Okay.
And my spouse, her family's been in Mequonago since 1928. So we've seen, you know, changes, and, you know, death, taxes, and change. Those are all three things that you can count on.
Yeah.
And I looked at, you know, how I want things, or, you know, what my views are or whatever. I'm a facilitator on this committee as a board liaison, and this event that we have coming up tomorrow is a step in people participating. I really, you know, people participate, share your ideas, let us know, you know, don't say, oh, we didn't know this was happening or that's happening type of thing. Here's one chance. There'll be others to get involved in what our the design firm that we hired calls a charrette. And
I'll be honest with you, it's the first time I ever seen that word, and I had to look it up. So what is a charrette? First, let's spell it, right?
We wondered how it was spelled, because there's two different spellings for it. So when I first started talking about charrette and the flyer was, you know, produced or whatever in the design company, it's an old French word, I found out. I'm learning with everyone else. And many people that I talked to, when we, you know, the first question was, what's a charrette? And we went to our Merriam dictionary to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a design workshop. People come, they have their ideas, and there's somebody there who, it's an artist term. They will draw on a piece of paper with the base maps of the village, people's ideas, compile those ideas, and come back to us in about a month from now at the end of February with, you know, what the results are from this. So when I asked what a charrette is, they said, well, the easiest way to define it is, they call it a fun, creative, and hands-on public workshop. So it's interactive. You don't just sit in a chair. People can come, you know, if you can stay for the 2 hours, that's great. If you need to come and go with family commitments and everything else going on, that's fine too. But there'll be activities, and you sit at a table with maybe six or seven other people, you know, share your ideas, and then they will be there to take down your ideas and to draw them out and, you know, in concept, and go back and work on them in more detail.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're talking about the charrette, and when is this going to be occurring?
The charrette is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, that's Thursday.
It's Thursday, and it's between 6 and 8 p.m. at Village Hall, and it'll be in the lower level of Village Hall, so we can accommodate a number of people. We'll have a few, you know, light snacks there and type of thing, and just get people together and share their ideas and get them down on paper and come back, like I say, in a month and say, these are the ideas that people came up with, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, you know,
sort of a report
pedestrian
out,
you know? Friendly downtown. It's not necessarily something that'll happen overnight, but things within it, I think, can be accomplished over the next, you know, year or so, some short-term mm-hmm. things. And it's, you know, it's about, you know, street scaping involves just things as simple as the Also the signage, but just the garbage cans, possibly, doing something that's a little nicer in terms of features downtown, yeah. but also bigger than that. So.
Okay, so you've touched on some great things here. So let's talk about what this plan sort of looks like. Right, there's some big ticket items, some like longer term, that involve the DOT and such like that. And there's like these other visual aspects and things like that. So if you want to maybe walk through a few of those and what people can maybe expect to see at this hands-on, and what are the items that are part of the plan?
Well, I think we're looking for two designs, and we are looking at what can we do now, what can we do within the right-of-ways. We have a state highway that runs through the downtown. This is a topic and discussion that's been going on in some circles in Mequonago since 1958. In the 1970s, people look back and say we used to have a square. Now we have a bit of a village green there. Mm-hmm. How do people cross the street? What is there anything that we can do to make that a little easier? And the village is already doing some of those things. In the downtown strategic plan, we had some major, important action items that we wanted to get done, and so we've tried to address. Now at the mid street crossing at the fork in the road, there's a solar powered blinking light that helps people to get across the street and let the mm-hmm. cars know they should stop when people are trying to walk across in that area.
Yeah.
So there's short term things we can do. Plus we're looking at the longer picture. We're going to and already have approved putting in some LED lighting in there to just get the lighting better. People know in those downtown intersections there was a problem when people didn't stop for pedestrians and cars would try to go around, so there was a real safety issue that the village is aware of and addressing and trying to educate the public that in this crosswalk area you stop, let the people cross, and everybody will be a little bit safer because, there's businesses down here, there's people that want to get back to their house on the other side of the street, whatnot. We, mm-hmm. we have neighborhoods and the library and everything, all in this downtown area.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think one of the biggest things here is the balance between downtown Mequonago as being a destination for folks to, live, work, eat, play, whatever.
Correct.
As well as the conflicting need is to get through downtown to get to the freeway or wherever else they want to go.
Correct.
So those two are sort of diametrically opposed, and I know this plan is sort of a tool to help balance those two conflicting needs or wants.
It's a choice. And a previous committee that I was on, 2011-2013, was called the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, where the Department of Transportation, DOT, came to the village and said, we're the Department of Transportation, DOT, we're here to help you. But they wanted to basically widen, 83, and at that time, people just didn't want any more widening.
Oh, is that right?
Was the public sentiment.
Okay.
Now maybe things have changed in the last few years since 2013. It's a conversation that we need to have with DOT if anything's changed. But for example, if you are familiar with Walgreens downtown, you'll notice that there's a large green space that's 20 feet. That's a DOT right-of-way. Is there something that we can do in terms of plantings in that right away? Which we're going to investigate and try and find out what can we do, not what can't we do downtown.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, have this conversation where do people still feel the same way? In 2013, this large stakeholders advisory committee met with a DOT for probably close to 2 years. And we decided that what would be best for Mequonago at that time was to reroute 83 on Double N. That has its challenges also. This is the bigger discussion. What we're looking for in terms of the proposal that we received from our design people is to say, this is what we have now. What can we do with what we have now? But let's, try and have this conversation, because part of this downtown strategic plan was the discussion as a major implementation item was, looking into the reroute of 83.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has its challenges. You have railroad tracks, you have, different things. But I think the main issue in terms of Muckwonago is the fact that because of the lake, because of the marsh, because of the railroad tracks, we have basically two roads. And the question is through traffic versus destination traffic. Do you just want to get to 43, or do you want to come downtown and you know, find a parking spot, and you know, and in the future, if there's more restaurants downtown or more, you know, development downtown, what's the best path, you know, going forward? And like I say, you know, not about me 20 years from now, but what's the direction that Muckwonago wants to go on? Because we've talked about this for a long time, and we're at that point of saying, here's the plan, and what, again, I know I'm repeating myself, but what can we do? What, you know, and versus, you know, hearing what we can't do. And it's, but again, I want to stress that that's a long-term, big-picture item that, you know, discussions need to start now while we're working on the streetscaping plan, and have that conversation. You don't know what you can have if you don't ask for it. And in the meantime, what can we do down there in terms of more benches, you know, possibly trees? I don't know what the design...
Signage,
is part of
some harmonized district... Right. Identification, so people know this is a spot, right?
Right.
This is
a place to come to. We have two designated historic areas in Muckwonago: Pearl Avenue and the Grand Avenue historic districts. Those have been designated areas, and I know that there's some funds from the Red Brick Museum and the Historic Society to put street cap signs in that defined area.
Nice.
If part of our wayfinding plan is, okay, where is this little historic area that Muckwonago is
designated? And what makes it historic, too, right?
Right. Yeah. And so it gives, you know, the Historic Society a chance to say, here's a little defined area. But, you know, part of this streetscaping wayfinding plan is also to, you know, somewhat define what is the downtown. You know, this plan and what we had the funding for at this time is to... basically look at the area between LO and Henry Street. It's also what DOT had looked at back in 2013, coincidentally, and say, you know, look at this segment of the downtown. And then what I think we're looking for is to say, how do we build off of, you know, what we want to accomplish here. This streetscaping wayfinding plan, the charrette is one of the first steps. We should have some results in a plan back by spring of this year, so April, May, you know, type of thing.
Okay.
It's a fairly aggressive timeline.
Yeah.
And so there'll be meetings going back and forth. This our Downtown Development Committee is a village committee, so we have publicly noticed, open to the public meetings. We meet the last Thursday of each month. Anyone's welcome to attend. We put the agenda on the village website. So this is open to the public.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Just a real quick break here. I want to mention that you're listening to WFAQ LP Muckwonago, Kelmarine Community Radio at 101.3 FM. Commander Todd here, and I'm discussing and having a nice interview discussion here with Roger Walsh. He's a Village of Muckwonago trustee and chairman of the Downtown Development Committee. So just wanted to ground everybody and also keep going. You know, the charrette is tomorrow. 6 o'clock, 6 to 8. Where people can see what the plan is and then interact and give them some more ideas about what it should look like, what we've been talking about here.
Right. I mentioned that some things that the village is already working on, and one of the things one of the requests was an ordinance for truck traffic downtown. The village did, you know, look at and has an ordinance on it. We did some signage that directs people to 43 if the trucks don't want to come downtown. But, you know, first of all, there are businesses downtown, so they have to get their deliveries. And the trucks seem to be getting bigger and bigger. You see, you know, semis delivering to restaurants and liquor stores and gas stations and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So you're not going to eliminate, you know, and you can't and you shouldn't, you know, for the businesses, but if they don't really need to make that delivery downtown, you know, can they go around because they just want to go to 43, just like, you know, many people going to work in the morning want to go to 43.
Yeah.
So the best we could do was signage, because it's you couldn't really control it because it is a state highway. So there were some things that we could do, but it,
Okay.
So there was a limitation on that.
Yeah, I do recall there was a plan to actually make it enforceable, where it's like no trucks at all, or you know, reroute the truck traffic down the Holtz Parkway and make it like the law, right?
There was discussion of that.
Yeah,
you still like you have a
enforceable.
You have a you have a state highway, so you have, you know, that takes precedence over a local thing.
Okay.
And that's one of the questions with Highway 83 through the downtown and destination. If one of the discussions is what could you do if that was a village street as opposed to a state highway? The example would be East Troy. East Troy has a square. They've had some development in there. They've had people in terms of business owners and business property owners, you know, having kind of a cohesive look to their downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They also have Highway 20 doesn't go through the middle of East Troy. But we have a different situation in Muquonago, and it's not just that we compare ourselves to another community. We have to do what's best for Muquonago in the long-term planning.
Exactly.
We're unique. We should have our own identity.
It's not a cookie cutter.
What do we want? Or you know, what's our goal and what are we striving for? And that's one of the key questions. If you have how would this be different if you had that as a village property, a village-owned street, and you swapped with the state, you know, to make that Highway 83? And I think what I've noticed, too, is I look at traffic, and I have an office downtown, and I'm in the downtown every day, and seeing property and that sort of thing. And I see that people, because of the growth, because of the additional traffic, traffic's like kind of like water. You know, people seek the least path of resistance,
right,
type of thing.
Yeah.
So you see more and more that people are just mentally, they're looking for the quickest way to get to where they want to go. So if they want to go to 43 and they, you know, live on that side of the village on the north side, you know, they're going that way, or they're, you know, rerouting themselves a little bit, depending on the time of day. I've also noticed that a lot of the side streets are starting to get more traffic, you know. So if you go toward the lake, you're seeing more traffic where people are going, okay, I'm going to go down two blocks and over here,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, I've got this left-hand turn issue.
Yeah, yeah, right, so to avoid the traffic light, you know, 83 and ES.
Right,
you know,
they're mm-hmm, just...
It's the hack.
They're starting to do that.
The Muquonago hack.
Right, you know? So, but it's, traffic is an issue. There's going to be more growth. We can't turn the clock back, type of thing, so it's really what do we see, or what do we want to do forward? And I think that process has to be with everyone involved. It has to be the service organizations. It has to be the residents. It has to have businesses. It has to be the village. It's really, you know, trying to promote, just as this event tomorrow night is trying to get people involved and say, where do you want this to go? And all countries heard from, you know, on that issue. So.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's where we're going with it. I hope that it's successful and that, you know, people feel like they had a chance to participate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's the best that you can hope for. You know, is to have people engaged, people informed. That's why we're here and discussing this, because again, the different channels of communication. You know, but to have that feel that they're part of the process and the participation. Sure, we elect people to represent, you know, like you're on the board and everything else. On the other hand, this is their opportunity to sort of like put their fingerprint right on it,
mm-hmm,
you know, because they're living it. They're paying the taxes, they're living there and experiencing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's just a comment because of living where I live and kind of in a little neighborhood near the library. Nice area. I like it. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I live in an older house. I, you know, tend to like older, I find older buildings more interesting or whatever type of thing. That's just me. But so we, you know, bought our first house. I didn't know it was going to be my last house. But it kind of looks that way at this point. But we're just comfortable there. But, you know, raised a couple of kids there. And what I'm seeing is, especially at the holidays, that where we used to go around to the older neighbors in the neighborhood and, you know, drop off a plate of cookies or something like that, now people are coming to our house.
Oh.
And so it's really exciting for me to see, you know, young families, you know, buying these houses and moving into this neighborhood and getting involved in the library and you know, seeing the kids going to, you know, school, the Clarendon Avenue every morning.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a vibrant thing. And I look at this, you know, group of millennials or whatever bracket they're in type of thing. I'm going, wow, this is really great. And
the energy and the excitement.
Yeah,
you know,
they're gonna want to, you know, downtown. They're gonna want stuff to do with their kids. They're gonna want, you know, these activities. The library is such, you know, we got so many great things in Mequonnow. The library is great. We've got so much, you know, so many recreational things. Which part of this downtown plan? There's actually four parts that we're just talking about the pedestrian friendly part of it, but cultural, recreational. Historic in terms of our historic district, and how do we kind of, you know, operate off of that and get people involved in that if that's something that's interesting, even visitors, give them a walking tour or something to do, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also business development, because those were the four key areas that were identified in the downtown plan, and with the tier one, tier two recommendations. There'll be things for us to do for the next, yeah, for a while yet with this committee. This isn't just a one-time thing that, it, you know, and the charrette isn't the one-time thing. It's part of an overall plan, but an important part.
Right. So. And I expect us to have this conversation again, or several more conversations, and just continuing this as far as, you know, the development of the downtown goes. You know, so this is just the beginning, folks. You know, I do know also that the historic committee, or an aspect of this plan, was to discuss and address repurposing of buildings when their original purpose has gone to the wayside or changed. They want to change the building. What does that look like? And what's the guidelines for keeping the historical part of it, yet allowing growth as well? So I know that's part of this discussion, too. Maybe not this first tier discussion, but
correct.
I know that's part of the scope of this overall plan.
Correct. And a historic preservation commission is something that the village is looking at appointments. We did pass an ordinance on that. We had a historic preservation commission, and then it got folded into the plan commission.
Mm-hmm.
So that has...
So it's more comprehensive, right?
Right, and that's, yeah, that's in a separate area with the historic preservation that the village will be looking for volunteers or people to appoint to that commission. And off the top of my head, I don't know what the composition is. I'd have to look that up, but... you know, they'd be looking with some, you know, somebody with a historic background, architectural background. So when you mention, you know, repurposing buildings or how do things look, there's a lot of things going on in the village right now that could dovetail into what we're talking about. We're talking about just recently looking at, again, we did some things with the zoning downtown and retail center, and we called it the Village Center Overlay Zoning District is what that zoning is called. But they're looking at doing some different things in zoning that, you know, will come up in over the next year or so. But I think if everybody is aware in the left hand and right hand of what different groups and different people in the village are doing, you know, this opportunity is to dovetail some of these things together, because I think they're related. Just like, you know, cultural and recreational is related to your downtown in the sense, just like the downtown connects to the south side and the north side. You know, everything, you know, has some sort of a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what goes on south of the river with all the development that's going on there, how do these things fit together in a long-term plan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not sure. I'm excited to see how that's all going to work.
A lot of moving parts.
And
you're kind of the tip of the spear as far as this piece goes, you know. But it's
a part of.
Yeah.
And the more that the dots can get connected, as you say, moving parts, like I said, I'm excited to see how that's all going to work out.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. It's been interesting to watch this unfold over the last couple of years. I know there was like some signage about Make Downtown Yours, or there was a website that you could go and put some input in and that kind of thing. And that's how I think, first got involved with discovering more that I could then share with, you know, our listeners, and that's where I met John and Waddell, and you know, just kept the ball rolling here. You know?
Yeah, there's a history to all that.
So it's
and
exciting.
I'm really glad that you brought that up, because one of the things that this committee is doing, because we're an implementation committee, and we picked up from that, you know, Downtown Yours, the Downtown Yours website and Facebook page. We're trying to freshen that up right now. We're trying to update that. We're trying to make it the Downtown Development Committee, but keep, you know, archive the stuff from the Downtown Strategic Plan Committee. If people want to really dig into the details and look at all the reports and studies and things that we looked at,
there's a lot.
You know, it's going to be, there is a lot. There is a lot.
A
lot of it was, you know, provided from some of the committees that I was on over the years, is trying to say, let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's try to build off what we've already done. And, you know, we've had studies, we've had committees type of thing. Incorporate that in, which I was glad to see. But, it's I'm glad you brought that up, because that Downtown Yours website is kind of a work in progress right now, where we're trying to update it, trying to bring it current, try and get things on that, you know, there that people can go to on a regular basis, and it'll tie into our regular monthly meetings. You know, we'll post our agendas and minutes on there, you know, that type of thing. If there's news articles that come about what we're doing, you know, get those posted on there.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And make that a source of information that people can go to, you know, let people know what we're doing, let people know what the result of this plan is going to be. Like I said, it's an aggressive, you know, timeline. But, you know, you're going to want to see what the results are, and what are some of the things that we can do as a next step once this plan is done.
Yeah. It's cool to see it actually happening now. You know, that's the exciting part. This is the do part, you know. So speaking of the website, what give folks maybe some information here as far as where they can find what we've just been talking about, if you can.
Okay.
It's
mcquantigodowntown.com. And that will lead you to the Facebook page. So if you go to that, and then within that, for example, our Downtown Strategic Plan, if you want to get more into the details of those Tier 1, Tier 2 recommendations, it's 47 pages, but there's a place you can click on there and you know, read through that or look through that. You know, I try to just give the highlights and the summary. But
absolutely. Yeah.
But that's...
Okay,
that's an ongoing process, is to try and really get the McQuantigodowntown.com to update it, freshen it. And then I know that from that, people, again, we talked about how do people get their information. Well, if they see something there and they share it, and then they put it on some of their local Facebook pages and, you know, start spreading that around type of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what people are doing. They see something that's interesting to their particular group or their particular interest, they'll post that, you know, they'll start sharing it, and it'll, you know, I've done it with this charrette, is to go out to a lot of different Facebook pages and bulletin boards, and just, again, how do people get their information, you know, get it out there. The village maintains a very large email list, so one of the things they did for the charrette is take that email blast list that John had developed from the Downtown Strategic Plan Steering Committee and use that, and as we go forward, add more people to that list. If they want, you know, if that's how they want their information in terms of an email, fine. You know, then that's that's another source to get there.
It's just another channel.
And it'll tie in.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And we're still mourning the loss of the local newspaper, the McQuantigo Chief. We just don't have the coverage that we used to before and enjoyed. You know, it's been gone for a few years now. We've been feeling it, I think, as a radio station here, as now a bit of the go-to, but as another channel to go to for some of this information. Like the McQuantigo High School has been reaching out to us to announce some of their plays, some of the village board meetings, the strategic, or the... Economic Development Summit, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right,
so we're picking up a bit of that, and we want to do more of that. So I'm glad you're here too.
It's kind of a cross-marketing thing in a sense. So, well, you know, for information, for, you know, again, when I was going door to door and just doing my little campaign thing a few months ago, the Waukesha Freeman, you know, put out a very, you know, there were five candidates, and then they put out a, you know, your basic headshot description of the, you know, five candidates. Mm-hmm. And so whether people voted for me or not, what I found out, I would just hand out a copy of that newspaper article, and it was like water in the desert. They were going, oh, these are the candidates.
Yeah.
You know, where did I find that information? So that really got me thinking about all the different ways that people get their information, and
right,
how do they get it.
And then I covered, as the kind of the candidate host or the forum.
No, that was great. The candidate forum was great. And I thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
We had it at a local restaurant. The chamber was involved in terms of that. And it was people showed up, people listened, mm-hmm, people asked questions, and you know, it was an opportunity to say, well, here's the people who are running, and here's what they're talking about. There were a lot of things we agreed on, you know, in terms of all five candidates. There were some things we disagreed on, but it's just out there, and that was a great thing, because
and that's where I first met you.
Yeah.
And then I covered that, taped it, and then rebroadcast it on the air. We had it several, you know, up until the election, we had it pretty much pretty regular rotation, as well as a link to the audio that people could go and download and share as you saw fit. So,
and I can say that at the time as a candidate, that I definitely pointed people in your direction to listen to that.
See how this works? There's some power here.
It's information, yeah, and it covered all five of the people running. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that was a good thing.
All right.
But, yeah.
Again, I want to break. So you're listening to WFAQ LP Muckwonago, 101.3 FM, and we're discussing, we're talking here with Roger Walsh from the Village of Muckwonago. He's a village trustee and the head of this development committee, design development committee for the downtown. So we're coming up here about 40 minutes. Is there anything else you want to share with the folks?
I think just kind of some nuts and bolts. Yeah, come to the charrette tomorrow, 6 to 8, Village Hall in the basement, the lower level. It's
okay.
Very nice. It's where you go to vote, by the way.
Right.
And in terms of nuts and bolts, how did we pick the company that we decided?
Yeah. Right, there's a design company. What's their name?
It's Foth, F-O-T-H, and it's a team of people.
Where are they from?
Foth has many offices, including Franklin, so they have local offices. I think their headquarters, I'm not positive, could be in the Green Bay area.
Okay.
So they have, and they've worked on a lot of projects. This isn't their first time. But we put out a request for proposal.
Request for bids, right?
RFP.
Yeah.
And we said, this is what we're looking for. This is the, we used our downtown strategic plan as the guideline for what we were looking for this streetscaping and wayfinding. And we received seven responses, which was good. It was a good response.
Mm-hmm.
We did a subcommittee of our downtown development committee with the village planner, someone who was actually a municipal administrator is on our committee from another community. So her expertise, or this is how you set up a system to grade these proposals, you know, objectively, you know, type of thing. So we all went away over the weekend, looked at all the proposals, came back, met, and individually graded it, and surprisingly, just independently, we all narrowed it down to two out of the seven.
Really?
And,
okay.
Because they scored the highest. It was just a scoring system, you know.
Based
on the criteria that this one of our committee members, you know, brought to our attention. It was very good. It was objective matrix. Yeah, it was a good process. So then the two finalists did a presentation, and what was interesting about that was, and no offense, both, you know, excellent companies, was that a lot of the committee members had made up their mind who they were going to vote for, and you know, in terms of which company out of the two, you know, based on their proposals. And then in the live presentation, we just felt that this particular company was going to be a little bit more flexible. They had done some of a little more, you know, due diligence in terms of visiting Maquonago, walking the streets, taking photos in advance.
So they went like extra
mile. Advance work, you know, type of thing, a little more, I thought, that they would be a little more hands-on for us in terms of Maquonago. So it went from, I think we're going to, you know, vote for this company, and then it ended up in terms of the presentation. And again, no offense, they're both very good companies.
Mm-hmm.
Just that we get a little more, you know, hands-on, and they were going to
personal touch.
Look at Maquonago.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
So, and then the village approved the funding to do the study, and this is, here we are. And okay. They approved that in December, so we've been hustling to go from December to, you know, January doing this and to proceed, you know, with a plan.
Okay. So you mentioned budget, so I guess a lot, maybe our listeners are wondering too, like, so how much money is involved with what is targeted or tagged for this phase one part?
Well, the plan itself is under $30,000. That's what it was approved to do the plan.
Okay, and part of the plan itself.
The plan itself.
Okay, $30K.
Okay, so, and part of that plan, part of the what was in that proposal, is that they will come back and give us some cost estimates on the big stuff. There'll be little stuff, big stuff. But, you know, when you want to do this with your street, or if it involves a sidewalk, or if it's, you know, that type of thing, is to have some estimates of costs that we can work off and plan on and budget for the future.
I mean, okay.
We're in a budget cycle now. We're in this year's budget. The next cycle will come up, you know, for approval in November. So you get into this long-term, you know, and it's about taxpayers' money, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are we trying to use the same microsite and Facebook page? Because it should save us some money. Why don't we want to, you know, reinvent a new, you know, something that we've already done before? Let's give it to these guys who are working on it now and say, well, we did that or we did that, you know, and let them spend time on the forward stuff, you know, not what we've already done. So,
yeah.
So I appreciate that about the committee, too, is that they're looking at costs. But, you know, these could be some, when you get into street projects, I'm sure that, you know, there are sewer and water issues in downtown Maquonago. You know, some of the pipes are getting a little old.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're ready to do that work, you also have a plan in place that you can incorporate and maybe, you know, save a little money because you're working hand in hand.
Some synergy there. Yeah.
Some synergy, exactly.
Yep. Okay. So the budget right now, or the money being spent, has been earmarked for the plan itself.
Correct.
So, based on what the charrette comes up with and then the iterations beyond that,
uh-huh.
then the proposal will come before the board.
Correct.
And the rest of the village, or
and the
whoever,
public.
The public,
right. Exactly.
To say, okay, you've chosen, ladies and gentlemen, moms and dads, children of all ages,
right.
These things are your priorities, and this is what the plan looks like, you know, or what you've chosen as a plan. This is what the price tag is going to be for doing A, B, C, D, right?
Right.
And that'll be, you know, then budgeted in or voted in for the budget as part of the budgeting process,
right,
for the
that's a good summary.
Couple years from now,
there's
whatever
no,
it takes.
Everything keeps moving, growth keeps moving, traffic keeps moving. You know, DOT, when they did a few years ago, when they came in and they wanted to do you know, something with downtown Maquonago, but you know, their minimal plan stated by them was that it would involve widening there. We have patched that area of road down there, and it's held up very well. It was kind of a 5-year, you know, let's placeholder type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably about eight, you know, going on 8 years ago, maybe 9, I'm not positive, but it's been a while. It's more than 5.
Yeah.
So these are things that will come up in the future, but if you see them coming up, you know, ahead of time. We had an issue on Main Street a couple of years ago where we had water pipes break. Well, that was, we got to fix this now, you know, type of thing. And so we know that those
some
roads,
do's
those
some
roads
nice
were
to do's,
built,
yeah.
At, you know, that sewer and water was put in about the same time as the downtown. And it's just trying to, you know, that's a big job in terms of municipalities to try and stay ahead of things and plan and budget it out, because these are not necessarily inexpensive items.
Yeah, so, right. So then when those big projects do come up, you say, okay, by the way, we're going to also put in, okay, if we're going to be touching the sidewalks or the curbs, you know, replacing them, we'd like them to now have this type of feature based on our this sort of strategic plan.
Right, and I'll give you a really good example of that. On Double N Veterans Way, what we found out with this previous committee, 2011-2013, that the county was already going to do the work on that stretch of road. They already had it in their budget, their long-term plan. I mean, DOT and the county, I mean, they have long-term plans. They, you know, they move the pieces around sometimes in terms of funding and money that they have, and the federal government's involved. It's all money. It's all taxpayer money. So, mm-hmm. So the example was that at that time, while as we were talking to DOT, we said, shouldn't we be talking to the county also? And we got everybody in the room together. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
But in the process of the county, there was a choice of doing what they called a rural cut and a urban cut. And the village had wanted some sidewalks in that area for some time, and you had River Park Estates, you had the, you know, condos, you know, in that area. So while the county was doing their work, which, by the way, because we were talking to each other, was at that time built to the state highway standard as well. The county said, we're doing the work anyways. You know, DOT, you know, we're going to do it that would meet us the state highway standard at mm-hmm. that time.
Yeah.
So my point is that there's streetlights and there's sidewalks there, that it was probably cheaper to do it at the same time that all that road work was going on, because
touch it once.
The village made a decision that yeah. this is what we wanted. We want, now that all this road work is being done, let's get these sidewalks and streetlights in at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's an example of how, you know, if you can fit some things together, that in the big numbers, it should save you some money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Smart growth. Smart use of the resources when you're touching it.
Yeah.
Do it once.
People,
you know, do it well.
All departments talking to each other.
Amazing when that happens. Crazy.
So.
Well, speaking of talking, again, we're talking with Roger Walsh here, Village of Maguanago trustee and chairman of the Downtown Development Committee. And let's some final words here. Let's wrap it up. What do you think?
Some final words. Come to the Charette tomorrow night.
Okay.
It's probably the fourth time I've said that,
yeah,
but it's worth repeating.
We're pushing it for sure. But
yeah.
This is your
chance.
And
follow us as we go along. You know, hold us accountable that things are going to, you know, get done. We'll do the best we can. And in terms of the committee, in terms of letting people know what's going on, and if the support is there from the community and the village and all these moving parts and all these people, then something can get done. And I think that we will try to find, for example, I reached out, you mentioned the high school before. I reached out to the high school because maybe there's something that the high school students, in terms of something with public art, something with, you know, different aspects of it, possibly something with, they might get involved in, you know, sending some of their students to cover some of these meetings type of thing and put them into, you know, some form, whatever that is, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I had a conversation, you know, with the high school and just say, we're going to look for some ideas to involve them. We're going to look for some ideas, and we already know that, you know, some of the service organizations, and I won't single anybody out in particular, but, you know, have already come forward and said, yeah, we'd like to participate in that. You know, when you get to the street bench or something, you know, we have a donation program in the village. I know I've been involved in donating street benches and trees. You know, Maquanago's a tree city.
Mm-hmm.
Village president is very proud of that. And we have the Department of Public Works. You know, we get donations for trees, and, you know, we take care of the trees in the village of Maquanago. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So incorporating some of these things, I can see going down the road, if you get some involvement, people see, yeah, this little segment of this project, we could do something with it, you know, whether it's, you know, service organizations, scouting, or, you know, organizations or whatever. I don't know, but it seems like there are some things that people, you know, Maquanago's a great community.
There's a lot
in terms
of resources
of
there that are kind of bubbling, right?
Yeah,
that we're just, you just have to touch.
There's a lot of different organizations that have, you know, step forward. And there's a lot of organizations and groups that, you know, are looking for good things to do for the community, and to have something, you know, on the plate, so to speak, and say, well, here's a project. I'd like to see the, you know, committee and you know, listen to different people's ideas and see, is there a fit, is there not? You know, for example, from going to the high school, well, this is finals week, so let's leave the high school alone this week and come back in February and talk about things.
Sure.
And fit into what they're doing too with their curriculum, or, you know, that type of thing.
Or some other planning, you know.
So, and no, understanding
what their cycle,
each group does, and what they get involved in and they don't, and, you know, whether it's Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions, Optimists. I mean, it's, you know, all these different avenues, and say, that's part of the moving parts, or part of the dots to connect.
Yeah.
So
fun, really fun.
Thank you for your time.
Interesting.
Really,
I've learned a lot. I've learned a ton here, and hopefully you folks have too, you know.
I thought I'd have nothing to say.
we're kind of like, what, an hour? No, that's way too much, you know. No, it's been great having you, Roger. Thank you so much for coming, and good luck with the charrette tomorrow. And, of course, the best of luck with the committee and the implementation plan and the plans. Come on back, okay?
Okay, appreciate it.
And keep us in the loop. We'd love to hear more. And certainly this is your chance to get involved. And you know, like he was saying here, all the different groups have maybe a little touch and impact that they can have, you know. All right. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Come on back. Once again, you're listening to WFAQ-LP Muquanago Kettle Moraine Community Radio, 101.3 FM and WFAQ.com. Thank you, Roger, and we'll be back. You come on back. All right, back to the music. This is the nation's music source. Coming up next is, let's see, how about some David Byrne? This is American Utopia on Broadway, the original cast. It's WFAQ-LP Muquanago.